Okay, we're continuing in the Maimer from the Balatanya, Ani Ladodi Vidodi Li, as explained by the Chassidus Mubaris. We're on the third page, page Yud Aleph. We've discussed the difference in Elul and the rest of the year, where Elul is the aspect of Ani Ladodi Vidodi Li, where we bring the Itarut to the Latata, where we begin the awakening from below, and through that we'll merit that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to get the awakening from above. And this awakening of the feeling of the fear and awe of Hashem, and then subsequently to that the love from Hashem, this will be something that will last us the whole year. This is something that we cannot get on our own. This natural is not natural for the human being, the physical, mortal human being, to acquire this feeling of love and fear of Hashem, but rather it can only come as a gift from Hashem after you've worked to develop it. And this will give you the ability to feel this way towards Hashem at all times of the year. Now, we begin now, there's a question that he's going to be asking, although he doesn't speak it out directly, but in the commentary below it is elaborated on. So we're on the up top of the page, third line from the top. V'inei noda shebe'elul huzman hiskalus yud gimel midas rachamim. It is known, well known in the writings, that Elul is the time where the 13 attributes of mercy are revealed to the world. Now we know the 13 attributes of mercy were introduced by Hashem to Moshe after the sin of the golden calf. It's the famous Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, etc., etc. Those 13 midos where Hashem said that whenever the Jewish people will invoke the 13 attributes of mercy, meaning to say when we will speak them out, then Hashem will forgive us for our averos. That's the simple meaning, but there's a lot more to this. And we know, for example, on a holiday, on any one of the holidays that we have, before we take out the Sefer Torah, we sing the Yud Gimel Midos. Why? We just don't sing it because it's a nice thing to sing. Because it's a time of the 13 attributes of mercy. It's a time where Hashem comes down and touches us with this mercy. And that's a special nature of the holidays, where Hashem does come closer to us.
Is this what they said?
Hold on, just you gotta wait. So it is known that Elul is the time of the revelation of 13 attributes of mercy. So now really there's a question being asked. Because if we just got done saying that Elul is the time of Ani Ladodi, of Itaruta de Latata, an arousal from below, where we have to do the work, and only later does Hashem reveal himself, how do we reconcile that with the fact that it's also known that the month of Elul is the time of the 13 attributes of mercy, which would appear that Hashem is coming first. So this is the question that has to be resolved. So that is in that one line, the question that he's bringing up. Ulahavin zeh, and to understand this, ki lama hem yemosachol veinam yontav. So why indeed are the days of Elul considered, so to speak, weekdays and not holidays? Kemo shabbosos v'yontov shebehem hiskalos alokos b'chinas haras alokos yisparach. And they're not like a yontiv, and like Shabbos and yontiv, where we have the revelation of Hashem's in the aspect of the illumination from Hashem. Ubifrat, and especially be'esus man yed gimel midos. Especially when we're talking about the 13 attributes of mercy, which are tremendously lofty lights that come from Hashem. And we know v'hemizgalim b'yom kippur, they are revealed on Yom Kippur. So it must be ubavada yesh hefresh gadol ben Yom Kippur ben Elul. So there must be a great difference between the illumination of the 13 attributes that come on Yom Kippur and the month of Elul. That's got to be a difference. We have to see what that is. Achinei Yuvan Api Mashal, it will be explained with a parable. It's one of the three famous parables that the Balatanya brings in this Maimer. And layers of this parable will be revealed further as we go through the Maimer. L'melech shekodam bo la'ir yotzein anshe ha'ir likroso mekablim ponav basada. The king, before he comes to the city, a king who is coming to visit, is going to come to a city. So what are the steps involved? So he's coming to the city. So if there are certain people who want to go out, the people from the city want to go out towards him and to greet him while he's still in the fields. So what happens? Then anybody who wants is allowed to come and greet him. You're allowed, you know, it's a lot easier to get to the king when he's en route. Now this is certainly the day before, the age before motorcades and things like that. When the king's far away, there's not a lot of people around, and you want to go over to him, you can go over to him. And he'll respond to everybody in a nice, friendly way. And he shows a very happy, friendly face to everybody when you greet him out in the fields. When he comes into the city, as he's coming into the city, they can still follow him. They can be part of the entourage. Next page. But afterwards, but when he gets into the palace, then nobody can get to him unless they have a special permission. And even then, who gets in with special permission? Only the chosen, selected ones get to see him. This is also what we mean regarding the month of Elul. Because the month of Elul, it's like God is out in the field. We go out to receive the light of the shining face of Hashem in the field. Now, the Baal Tanya does not elaborate to explain the realities of this mashal, and that's why there's very little Baal Tanya on this page and a lot of commentary below. That's what we're going to need the commentary to help us out over here. Let's turn back to page Yud Aleph and pick up the Chassidus Mufuares, which is, if we look on Yud Aleph, the bottom of the right-hand column, the last paragraph. He brings in the brackets. So if this is a time of arousal from below, so the bracket says, Elishal P said, Sir, now we have to understand, he's bringing the kash, the question. We know that Elul is the time of the revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy. So he explains. It is known in the writings that Elul is the month of the time for the revelation of 13 attributes of mercy. And this is the time where Hashem comes very close to people because of the mercy and the kindness that he has. And the brackets says, as will be explained in the next chapter, what is the spiritual aspect of God revealing the 13 attributes of mercy and what it does. That you'll just have to put it on hold. What is it exactly when Hashem comes forth with his 13 attributes of mercy? It will be explained in the next chapter. But just to suffice say, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. When Hashem showers us with the 13 attributes of mercy, it's a good thing for us. And it shows his kindness and his love to us. We will see. But it is a time when that happens. So, echmatim zeh imashis, how do we reconcile this with what we explained before? Shelus mani taruto delatata dafka aniladodi. That we said, Elul is the time of the arousal from below, specifically that I am for my beloved, as opposed to what happens in the month of Tisha when Hashem comes. It seems that Hashem is even coming now to us. Next column. So in the brackets it says, Yuvan zebahakti mochaila. So this can be understood by prefacing another question. And what's the second question? Miachar Lahavin Zen will explain also, Kilama Yemos Achov in Ayantov. Why are these weekdays in Ayantov? As he explains. Miachar Shekhodish Elul Esratzon Gavo Kokach Shos Yesh Kiligimus Arachmim. If Elul is such an awesome time, such a great time, that Hashem reveals the 13 attributes of mercy. So Madu Yeme Elul Hemiyamos Achov Yamim Tovim. So why is Elul the times of weekday and not Yom Tov? So those are the two questions. How do we reconcile the fact that El is the time of Anila Dodi, where I have to make the effort, while we're being told it's the time of the 13 attributes of mercy, where it seems that Hashem comes to us? And B, so in fact, and also, why is the month of El not a holiday period? Why isn't it like a Shabbos Yontov, where Hashem reveals himself? He explains, Jerizel Geter Shal Shabbos Yontov. This is the whole concept of Shabbos and Yontov. She'oz Yesh Tosefes Hiskalus Alokas Ba'olam. There is an extra revelation of godliness in the world. She'zel Ini Kedusha Shabbos Yontov. This is the whole idea of the holiness of Shabbos and Yontov. What makes Shabbos and Yontov holy? Because it's a time as well where you can feel God's revelation. Whatever we said about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur regarding the specific aspect of awe and fear of Hashem, but the fact is every Shabbos and every Yontif, there's another aspect of Hashem revealing himself to us if we are prepared for it. Now, what does this mean specifically? We're Parshas Kisetze. Parshas Kisetze is not the same as Parshas Shoftim, which was last week. Is it altogether different species of Shabbos? No two Shabboses are the same. Never. That's a big mistake we make. Shabbos again. I just had Shabbos 7 days ago. It's the same Shabbos. It's not the same Shabbos. And the fact, how do we know it's not the same Shabbos? Because you're reading a different Torah reading. If it was the same Shabbos, we'd do the same Torah reading. Read the same Torah reading every week. The rabbis understood that every Shabbos provides another different type of gift of closeness to Hashem to us. And how do you know what it is? You have to look in the Parsha. And every day you're Mavr Sedra. Every day you start on Sunday, you read the first Aliyah. And Monday the second Aliyah. By Friday you've read the sixth Aliyah, and Shabbos by yourself, it's a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs. So you have to go over the Torah twice every week with the Targum, with the explanation. Meaning to say that every day of this coming week, coming to Shabbos, is already being influenced by that Shabbos. And then you have to figure out what is the special gift of this Shabbos. The special gift of this Shabbos is Ki Teitzei L'Milchama, is to know how to go to war against your Yetzer Hara. How do you go to war? When you will go to war against your enemy. Now, of course, the simple meaning is because you're going to war against the Canaanites when you will go to war. But for an eternal Torah, Torah is an eternal Torah, but it only applied for 7 years when Yeshua and the Jewish people fought against enemies. Or we can extend it maybe as long as the Jews lived in the land of Israel. But for 1900 years when no Jews lived in the land of Israel, nobody went to war against any enemies, you want to say that part of the Torah didn't apply? The Torah is an eternal Torah. So what is the Torah teaching us? So that which was on the physical, simple way, which is true, but there's always the deeper, eternal message. When you go to war against your enemy. Now, we all know, as the Chovas Havava says, the greatest enemy of a human being is his Yetzer Hara. And the Torah is teaching us, how do you go to battle against your Yetzer Hara, and what kind of battle it is, and how you can expect to find success. So now, we fight our Yetzer Hara all year long, but this week is the week where Hashem says, I will come very close to you, and I will reveal to you, and you will sense and feel from me how to deal with the Yetzer Hara successfully. And that's what this parsha is. You're not going to be able to learn how to do that all year long if you're not going to do it this week. Now it's an important week because it's 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And every Shabbos has a different message to a different closeness that Hashem brings to you in an understanding and a feeling of Hashem. Now of course, if you haven't been feeling it, that's because you're not, you just like we said, without a proper Elul, you don't feel what's coming on Rosh Hashanah. Without a proper Erev Shabbos, you're not going to feel what's coming up on Shabbos. Shabbos is an amazing day. Unfortunately, most Orthodox Jews do not sense the feeling of Hashem's presence. They may enjoy the physical trappings of the day. You have nice cholent, a lot of sleep, get to be with family. That's all the superficial part of Shabbos. That's not the real Shabbos. The real Shabbos is feeling the closeness of Hashem. Walking away, mamish, feeling the intensity of Hashem in your neshama, which takes a lot of preparation. And that's what it means. It's a day of Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. It's a day of great mercy, where Hashem comes to you on Shabbos, as opposed to the other 6 days of the week. The other 6 days of the week is very hard to feel Hashem's hug and His love. You could, but it's extremely hard. Now, if you get a good dose of, you prepared well for the 6 days, you did your work, come Shabbos, and you really feel that closeness, the revelation of Hashem, then that gives you a strength to continue for the next 6 days. And it's a beautiful cycle. You know, and when you read certain writings, especially from Reb Tzvi Meir, in his form of his chaskus, of strengthening, which we've quoted him from time to time. When you read it, it's like, you know, he says, and now we're coming to this time of year, and it's the most important time of the year. He writes, and if you hear him speak, like, he gets so excited about this Shabbos. Like, this Shabbos is like, there's no other Shabbos like this Shabbos at all. Then he comes next week and he speaks, he says, next Shabbos, he says, this Shabbos is no Shabbos like this Shabbos. Parshas Kisavo, no Shabbos like this. He says, what's going on with this guy? Because he understands that every Shabbos is its own Shabbos. You'll never have this Shabbos that's this Shabbos, you'll never have it again in your life. Are you going to say we repeat the Parsha next week? That's already built on 5,770 years of these Shabboses. No different than a good marriage, where you have new experiences and you find greater depth to your spouse's character. So, you know, marriage, hopefully, you know, marriage after 25 years is a different marriage after the one you just got married. And 25 is different than 26 is different than 25. Now, not all marriages are like that. Some marriages, it's the opposite, goes down. If the best time is when they got married, it just goes down right afterwards. So you're fed up and then you get divorced and goodbye. Interesting statistic I just saw yesterday. 40% of Americans, I don't know what Canada is, 40% of Americans are single. Isn't that an amazing statistic? 40% of Americans are single. Okay, what does that mean to say? They don't know how to be married to each other. Right? So the point is, what Tzvi Meir says, this is the most amazing Shabbos of the year. It's unbelievable what you can do as a Shabbos. Because he lives it, really. And that's what he tries to bring across to everyone else. It's like, well, I don't get this guy. Every week it's the most important Shabbos year. He says, it is. Because this Shabbos, you won't be able to capture that blessing that Hashem wants to give you for this Shabbos, that you're not going to come close to for another year. It's only this Shabbos is on a fight with your Yetzirah. And that's a Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachamim. And when you have a Yontif, a Yontif of Pesach is the only Yontif of the year that's going to teach you how to access freedom, but by feeling freedom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to get it the whole rest of the year. So that's the amazing, so that's what Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim is. You're feeling it. Your mom, now, of course, it comes with preparation. But we are told that Elul itself, and that's why, oh, look at the next line. Now you understand something important. Why are we not allowed to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov? It says, Ulechein Osrim B'malacha. Therefore, you're not allowed to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? What's wrong if I work a little bit? Okay, I'll go to shul, and then I'll go to work. And I'll come back for mincha. What's the problem? Ki malacha va'ovdin dechol heim stira lekabolas hiskalus ruchonius el yonazos. Because working and any mundane weekday activity is a contradiction of being the vessel to receive the spiritual elevated revelation that comes from Hashem. If Hashem is about to give you a kiss and to shine forth this feeling, it doesn't happen when you're busy working. When you're busy working, you're focused on your work. You have to be focused on saying, Hashem, I've prepared for 6 days for this encounter with you. For 6 days, I've worked hard to prepare myself. I've gone through the parsha. I did all the avod of Erev Shabbos that I talked about at length about a half a year ago. I've gone to the mikvah. I've done everything. I've done a Kabbalah Shabbos to greet you in the most beautiful way. And now I sit down to a proper Shabbos table the way it really meant, and I'm singing the Smiros, and I'm saying for a tourist, and I say, Hashem, I'm ready to, now give it to me. Give it to me. Then if you've done the proper avod, Hashem gives it to you. But he tells her, I'm very busy. I'm worried about, and even if it's not an actual work, that's where the concept of uvda d'chol comes in. It's a concept, even if you can say, where is, in the 39 prohibitive activities is this, where does it say I can't read, the business section on Shabbos? Show me where it says. I enjoy it. It says supposed to take pleasure in Shabbos. I enjoy seeing how my stocks are doing. Because I'm very nervous about my stocks every day. And if I see it's doing well, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. Where does that camp see with the Blue Jays won last night, Friday night? Because my favorite pitcher was pitching. I'll get a lot of nachas to know that we won. We're in a tight pennant race. Right? The answer is, it doesn't say it anywhere. But if you're busy worrying about that, how are you going to receive Hashem's gift? Shabbos is main olam haba. Shabbos is the taste of the world to come. So what is happening in the world to come? There's no hockey, there's no soccer, there's no baseball, there's no business. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the saying. So that's really all, every Shabbos. And that's why you don't work. So if that's the case, right? So what's with El? El, we understand we're getting this too. Continuing. Especially at the time when the 13 midos are operating, it's bringing very lofty light, illumination. V'miskal the Yom Kippur, and it's revealed on Yom Kippur. We say it so many times, you'd give them midos. Yom Kippur is the day you can feel closest to Hashem from the whole year. But, he starts to answer and says, but they're much, so they're, what, Ella, what do you have to say? Shabbos, you know, we don't work because we're getting the Yigil Midas. And we're saying, oh, we get the Yigil Midas. So why are we working? We shouldn't be working the whole month. Must be, there's a difference between how much light comes down. So he says, "Befrat kisheisis kalos gedola gazuki gila yidgil midas harachem shena aras al yonos mod." Especially when we're talking about there's many spiritual gifts that Hashem gives us, but the 13 midos of machamim is one of the biggest. Afilu yoser mi Shabbos yontiv. It's even a greater gift than Shabbos yontiv itself. Shazel ini kedush Yom Kippur, which is Yom Kippur. That's the highest level. The 13 midos of Rachamim Yom Kippur is the highest level of closeness. Hayom Yosar Kadosh Tran, it's the holiest day of the year. Why? Because Hashem reveals Himself the most on Yom Kippur. If Hashem is revealing Himself the most, therefore you're doing the least physical at all. Yeah, on Shabbos Hashem reveals a certain amount. Okay, so you don't work, but I can still eat. I can still have certain physical pleasures. But when Yom Kippur, Hashem mamish blows your socks off. It's like the whole thing's coming out to you. The Kohen Gadol, only on Yom Kippur can enter the Holiest of Holies and still live. And that means all of us experience the highest intensity, so therefore you can't do anything human at all. Because anything human, physical, will be a contradiction to this. So that's Yom Kippur so amazing. Why? Because again, there's more of the 13 attributes that is revealed then. So therefore, how can you tell me that there's a revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy in Elul? But we don't see any extra holiness in this month of Elul, because we see their mundane weekday, so you can work. So what do we have to say? There's got to be a difference as to how much is revealed of Hashem in these 13 attributes in Elul as opposed to Yom Kippur. And now he gives us the analogy. So we'll skip the bold because it's just repeating the analogy, and he'll explain it. Let's turn the page. I'm going to be able to finish this all before the time today. We're on the next page, the smaller print. On the right hand side.
V'yuvnal pi moshol mimelech basar v'dom anim se basar v'yotzin kol ha'om
can be understood with an analogy of a physical mortal king goes out into the fields, and the people come out to him. Now, and he explains in the brackets. I only see one half of the brackets. Anshei ha'ir lekabel panav basada. The people of the city come out to greet him in the field. Now we'll see later why are they called the Anshei ha'ir, the people of the city coming out to greet him. Keep that in mind. Three chapters from now, you'll see an understanding of that. But we'll see later. So they come to greet the king in the field. Shosher shoyim akol lekabel panav, because everybody can greet him. From a kabbal of some to say in front of us, and he greets them back, and he smiles, and he's friendly with them. Mashenke behechol machusvo, and he gets into his royal chambers. Shirat yichidus shkul yichon lekana sefsel shikum reshushkul yichon asolzeh. Only special people, with special permission, can get into him. So he says, and that's what El is. So obviously, there's a lot not explained. So now he's going to explain. Next part of the small print. This is the insight in the closeness that Hashem reveals himself to the Jewish people in the month of El. Which means what? It's like, Elul is like the time where the king is in the field. Just like in the analogy as we mentioned. Just like in the analogy, a whole year long, when the king is in the palace, you can't get close to him. But only when he's in the field is it possible to greet him. So kach benimshol, so it is in the realities of life. So in order that all the Jewish people, and not only the tzaddikim, but every Jew, even the lowest Jew, that they should have the ability to try to make the effort on their own to come close to Hashem as ani l'dodi. Yesh tzorech l'nesinas koyach milamala. We need a special giving from above. Why? Because of the great distance between us and Hashem. In other words, what he is saying is, I'll tell you the main point, and then we'll read on, you'll see how it makes sense. We're saying that El is a time where we have to make the first move. But a lot of people are scared to make that move. A lot of people feel discouraged from making that first move. A person looks back on the whole year and says, what kind of a shmuel I've been. How I haven't, and let's talk about a very far away Jew. A Jew says, listen, I didn't come to shul the whole year. I didn't give any tzedakah. I didn't do anything. And you're telling me on Yom Kippur Hashem is going to come to us. And you're telling me that I have to first come over and make a movement to Hashem. You know, you find many times, you know, let's say when in relationships that somebody's been very mean to another person. For whatever reason, they're very mean to another person. It's very hard for them to initiate to come over to that person for anything, to say they're sorry. Because, you know, I'm not talking about one time you did something wrong, then it's not that hard to go back and say I'm sorry. But let's say it's been over an extended period of time. You've been not nice to the person, been nasty to the person, whatever. And then, you know, it's coming time, you know, you should really go over to the guy and settle things. But it's very hard. You feel very uncomfortable to do this because, first of all, you realize you weren't nice to the guy. You're ashamed to come to the person. You don't necessarily have the courage to approach the person. You know, it takes a lot of guts. You know, let's say somebody you offended 25 years ago. You know, I just read a story. I don't remember all the details of the story. Rabbi Spiro, in one of his books, he talks about a person named Zev. It's a long story, I don't have time for the whole story. Maybe Chal should have. Fellow by the name of Zev came over and told him the whole story, how that when they were kids, there was this one child in school that he made fun of. There was a fellow named Zev who was a good shtickmacher. So I forgot exactly what the shtick was. He pulled a good shtick, you know, a good prank on a fellow. And as he got old, and embarrassed in front of the whole class, whatever it was. And as time evolved, this Sev grew up to become went to yeshiva, and became a very big student, a very big rabbi. And he realized, you know, when you embarrass people, it's a terrible thing. So after many years, you know, it dawned on him, he remembered what he did, and he says, you know, he has to apologize to this guy. You know, it's very hard to go back to somebody you pulled a prank on, right? And it was like 25 years later, he finally had the courage to go over to the guy and tell him about the prank. And the guy says, I don't remember it. You know, if you say I did it, okay, I forgive you. But in terms of the Zev guy was like distraught. Like it was a struggle because he was so embarrassed to now come and say it. Like, some embarrassment to go over to the person that you really pulled a terrible prank on, right? And to say it was me who did it and I feel sorry. It's very hard. It needs a lot of courage. Anyway, so when this Zev was telling, I said, I'll tell you, and I want you to tell me who the Zev was. It's Rabbi Zev Lev from Moshav Matas Yol. And the guy says, well, do you want me not to use your name? Just say Zev. He says, no, I want you to be bedavka to say who it was. So other people should have the courage to want to do it too. So you need a lot of courage to come in Elul, to come to Hashem. You want to come close to Hashem. So what do you think you're going to tell Hashem? You know, and I don't feel so close to the guy. I don't feel so close to Hashem. So you need courage. You need to be empowered to even want to come close to Hashem. And by itself, it isn't going to happen. So this is what the lesser aspect of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, the Rachamim that Hashem showers to us in Elul, is to have the courage to create our own arousal from below. In other words, there's a little bit of an arousal from above, just enough for you to have the gumption and the courage to now initiate a real arousal from below, to which Hashem will respond to you on Kippur with a full-forced arousal from above. So it's really three steps are going on over here, is what he's saying. It's Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim on a smaller scale, where Hashem shows mercy upon us and comes to us like the king who goes out into the field. He goes out in the field where the masses are, and he'll elaborate in a couple chapters exactly what this means. But it means the Jew who's far away from Hashem. The people in the field are not the dignified people, let's say. It's the farmers, the yokels. So the people, see, there's a question. It says the people from the city go out to the field. That's a question I'll answer in a couple chapters. But the king goes out into the field. He's already going out into the field. Okay, I'm going to go over to the king. So the king has made a first slight initiation to the process. I'm coming out. Maybe I'll give you the courage. You want to come over to me. Come over to me. Speak to me and show that you really like me. And the king can respond then. So that's the three steps that really, there's three steps here. That's why, for example, it says in the laws of Mechila, it says if somebody's hurt you and you feel that they're not prepared to come to you, you try to make yourself more available. They tell a famous story in the Gemara. There was a rabbi who was clearly offended, I believe it was by a butcher, I don't remember, I think it was a butcher, and the butcher insulted him greatly. And he never came over to the rabbi in the Gemara. Never came over to the rabbi the whole year long. So the rabbi says, Erev Yom Kippur. So the rabbi says, I'll make it my business to keep passing by his store. Just like make it look like I'm passing by. So he'll see I'm passing by. If I'm already there, he could just come over to me. If I recall the story correctly, the butcher never came to the rabbi. And then God caused an accident. The butcher died. Got killed. I'm saying, you know, if you know someone's hurt you, and you know they're going to be too embarrassed to come over to you, so try to find a way, you know, not directly in their face, but make it easier for them to have the courage to come over to you. So that's what I'm saying. Let me just finish this paragraph, and I'll take your question. So he says, and that's the aspect of the revelation of the 13 midos that's happening in Elul. Shekadosh Baruch Hu yoredu miskal eleinu kefi she'anu basara. Hashem comes down and reveals to us in our distant state of being in the field. Very far away from Hashem. And when Hashem gives us this feeling, Shezohi Nesinas Koch L'Tshuva, that gives us the power to begin to do tshuva. La'orer Banu Ratzon V'Cheshek, to arouse with us some type of desire. L'Kabel Espon of Yisbach, to go out and greet the King. Bisaros Avos Hashem V'Yiraso, with an arousal of love and fear for Hashem. So Hashem gives us the power to start the Itaruta de Latata, and to start our work of Anila Dodi. And this is where you might get this feeling, this unexplicable feeling. You start feeling to be a little bit more righteous. And it gets a little stronger as you get closer to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Gets a little closer. That's a week before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I think I'll go to Slichas. I mean, you do notice in Shul, for some reason, a week before Rosh Hashanah, a few more guys coming to Minyan. Right, you do notice it. Right, you do notice it. There is something in the air that people are a little bit more particular. Right? Now he's going to talk about later on, what about the people who don't feel this? Even in Elul. We're going to talk about it. He's going to say, what are you talking about? I know a lot of people who don't feel anything in Elul. What are you telling me, the guys? He'll explain that. But in the simple form, Hashem does give us a little feeling, a drop, it's a little bit of eagerness, not enough, you stop working. But enough to know the King's out in the field. You have a chance. Oh, he's here. Okay, you know, I'm gonna go to Hashem. I'm gonna show Hashem how much I love him. I'm gonna come over to him. I'm gonna do what I should be doing, which we have to still explain what that is as well. But now we have the courage to read that Ruta de la Tata. So then Hashem will reward that with the deepest and most intense form of Yigilness. This, I think, can also explain symbolically the idea what the Gemara tells us, that the rabbis, and as we saw in Tzfat, is that people go out on Shabbos into the field to greet the Shabbos. It's all part of the mashal. It's all part of the analogy. Why do we go out into the field? We're going out into the field to greet the King. Because, you know, it's easier to greet the King. That's our itaruta de latata. We go out into the field. It's not just time to go out in the field because it looks cool. Oh, it's a natural bohemian service that we will have in touch with nature and all the crazy things, right? I'm not against nature, but it only is worth anything if you have the deeper understanding. You have the deeper what you're trying to get there. It's the king is the Shabbos is coming. The Shabbos is coming. The Shabbos is the King, the Queen. The Queen is coming. Queen's in the field. If you go out to the field, it's easier to start showing how much you love the Queen. Because on Shabbos it's already harder. Ah, but if you already got to speak before, then you'll get the gift later. It's the same idea. So that's what the Yud Gimel Midas are, and that's that feeling you get to give you the courage to continue. Yes or Paul?
Two questions. One is this why we refer to Hashem as Dodi as opposed to Melech in El? Like it's more of an intimate, we're closer to him?
Well, not really, because even on Yom Kippur, where it's Dodi Li, where he is certainly the Melech, he's still called the Dodi. What it means to say, he's a king who also can be our beloved. In spite of the fact that he is a king, but remember, who is the king very close with at all times? His children. And Hashem says, Yisrael is a B'ni B'chori Yisrael. We are Hashem's firstborn. So we are the king's children as well. We forget about that. But that's the real Dodi. So in spite of the fact that he's a king, notwithstanding he's a king, he can also be the Dodi. Second question?
Is this like a symptom of the Yud Gimel Midos?
It's a little bit of the Yud Gimel Midos coming out, not the full force. There's different amounts. More comes out on Shabbos and Yom Tov, more comes out of Yom Kippur. Okay, so now, in the brackets, he says, the Admar HaZokin keeps it L'shono. The Alter Rebbe was very brief in his words, V'lobir B'feresh is at Teretz al-Shelos. He didn't answer all the questions. I spoke it out already. The Hanal Haniskerel that you mentioned earlier, Binyan Haris Yigimel Zerachamim Chashel. We're talking about the 13 attributes of the month of El. After its movement, I'll be a Moshal Melch Vesoda Melch Veichol. But the answer is understood with the analogy of the king in the field, the king in the palace. So now he's going to explain it a little bit more. He says Zel Shechodesh Elul Hamimoshal. This is what it means that Elul is a weekday as opposed to Yom Kippur. The difference between what's revealed of the 13 mitos in Elul and there's the Yom Kippur is what? Yom Kippur, who next column, Yom Kippur is like the guy who's lucky that he can go into the palace, into the royal throne room, and see the king dressed up in his purple reign of majesty. That's what Yom Kippur is. That's the reality. There's no coverings at all. You get the full revelation of Hashem. You see the king in his full majesty. Because of so much revelation of holiness, that's why it's a yontav, you're not allowed to work. As we said, because working is a contradiction to receiving this closeness from the king. Right? Just like a king, you don't go in without permission. Can you imagine? You get to see the king, and you bring your palm pilot in, and while in front of the king, you're checking your emails. Imagine that there's Jews who check their emails during Chazaras Hashatz. I'm not talking. Crazy. During Chazaras Hashatz, you're checking your emails. Right? It's the highest point of the whole davening is during Chazaras Hashatz. Right? But which is not so in Chodesh Elul. This is the king in the field. Before he gets into the throne room. The king then wears simple clothes. So he doesn't reveal all the majesty when he's coming out, when he's going in the fields. So it is in the analogy. The revelation of the 13 mitos in Elul is where God is hidden. He's not dressed like the king, as it were. He is hidden. That's only an aspect to arouse every Jew. Even someone in a very low state. In other words, this lower form of revelation is just to show us that Hashem is still interested in us. Hashem is letting us feel that, you know, I still care about you, and if you come to me, I will love to have you. But it's only a little bit. It's hidden. It's not totally revealed. There cannot be holidays. Because there isn't an extra revelation of the wholeness. It is a very subtle message of love. That you have to be, you know, sharp to pick it up. There's a hint to that love. Okay, he's hinting to me, so I should go. But in Yom Kippur, Hashem's in the full majesty as well. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We'll just finish this up next week, and we'll continue to understand more of what is involved over in this Yud Gimel Midos, which is going to be the second chapter. Okay.